Northern Minnesota author William Durbin writes historical novels for young readers. His 11th and latest novel was just published this spring. It's called Dead Man's Rapids. This is the first book that Bill has co-authored with his wife, Barbara Durbin. They're going to sign copies of the new book this Saturday at the Village Bookstore in Grand Rapids. It's a sequel to the 2003 novel, Blackwater Ben, and that's the story of the 13-year-old Ben Ward and his new friend Nevers. Bill and Barbara Durbin join us right now to talk about Dead Man's Rapids. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Okay, hold on here for a second now. How in the heck does a husband and wife combo write a book together? I can't even imagine going in a canoe together and giving each other advice. You guys wrote a book together. We have to know the dynamics of that. Tell us some inside stuff.
Well, who are you asking?
I guess we know Bill more, because I've never talked to Barbara before. So, Bill, we'll give you the floor first.
Yeah, Barb has helped me with all my books. She's been a great collaborator. Being that she retired from teaching recently, she just had a little more time than she's had in the past. So we actually worked on this one together, and it worked really well. I tend to be a person that has a lot of patience to sit down and do the typing and the research and grinding out the book, and she's probably the more creative of the two, and she helps me a lot with the color in the background. But it ends up being a really good partnership, and she actually gave me the inspiration to write the first novel, Blackwater Ben.
Okay, so Barbara, now it's your turn. You don't have to agree with everything he said.
Of course not, but that's what happens when you're married 45 years. You notice that he did compliment me. I enjoy doing more of the characters and the plot and things like that, and he just loves the history. So I think it's a good combination. But I always took my class. I taught in Hibbing for many years. And I took my class to the Forest History Center every year. And I'd come home and I'd say, you have to come on the next field trip and you have to write a book about this place. And I just came, I just talked and talked and talked until finally one year he did come. And he wrote Blackwater Ben. And we just felt that it wasn't quite done, that there was more adventure there. So that's how Dead Man's Rapids happened.
Well, let's talk about this Dead Man's Rapids. What a dramatic title. And they are, so Ben and his friend Nevers, they're on their cookies, is that right?
Yeah, assistant cooks on the one again.
Yeah, so they're 13 years old. Kind of tell us what happens right away. They were working for Ben's father.
Yeah, and initially Ben assumed that he was going to be traveling on the one again as the assistant cook, floating down the river behind the logs, but Pa and his friend Charlie get into a dispute over a woman, and the two of them get into such an argument that Pa actually resigns. So Ben ends up working with a new cook named Old Sard, and initially he's looking forward to a change in a boss, but it turns out to be a bad wish coming true.
Well, and from the get-go, Old Sard and he makes a very different kind of bread, doesn't he, Barbara?
Yes, and no one seems to enjoy it, but I think they get used to it finally.
And so what's he like? Tell us about him.
Well, I think he's quite the character. It's not someone that you'd want to spend a lot of time with. He doesn't really care what other people think, and he doesn't really take care of himself very much, but he certainly is colorful and, I think, humorous.
Yeah.
So where is this all taking place?
It's taking place on a 100-mile-long river drive beginning in central Minnesota and heading north to the Canadian border. And when I did the research, I pretty much took the Blackwater River as a composite of the Little Fork, the Big Fork, the Race, a lot of the rivers that were initially used to drive the logs north. So the story's kind of a composite in that sense.
And what time period are we talking about here?
It'd be set in 1899. 1900 was actually the peak year of white pine production. So when we sent Blackwater Ben in this book, we wanted it to be during kind of the heyday of the log period.
You know, one of my favorite characters in this new book in Dead Man Rapids is Hungry Mike. How can you not like a guy like Hungry Mike? Tell us about him.
Yeah, and Hungry Mike is actually modeled after a real character who was infamous for his enormous appetite. And he actually was such a large guy that in the local saloon, they had to cut a circular portion of the table open so he could literally belly up to the table.
Oh, my gosh.
And eat his famous doubleheader breakfast.
Doubleheader.
Wow. I want to hear about what I know that's not that important, but don't you want to know what a doubleheader breakfast is?
Yeah, I do. We might be putting pressure on
that.
Bill has one every morning.
Oh, but Bill has the doubleheader. What is it?
Yeah, I tend to have a big appetite in terms of breakfast, but I couldn't eat what Hungry Mike used to put down. Basically, a double order of eggs, bacon, and he started off with a dozen eggs, so that's how huge the breakfast was.
We're talking to Bill and Barbara Durbin about a new book, historical novel out for young adults. It's published by the University of Minnesota Press, Dead Man's Rapids. They'll be at the Village Bookstore in Grand Rapids this Saturday. One of the things you get to learn as you read this book is all the different kinds of jobs going on. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, the work was hugely difficult, and usually they divided the drive crew into three groups. They would have a jam crew that would go out ahead and clear the river, a drive crew that would stay with the main body of logs, and these were the guys that would actually ride the logs downriver with their caulk boots anchored in the bark. Then the hardest job of all was the rear crew, the guys that brought up the back end of the log drive, and if a log got stuck on the bank or hung up on a sandbar, they would actually step into the freezing cold water, you know, and break the log loose. And the way they stayed reasonably warm, they would lard up. They would get up in the morning, take off their long underwear, pants, and boots, and take a big bucket of pig fat, and they would smear lard all the way over their feet, up their legs to their waist, and then put their long underwear and pants back on and step right into the bitterly cold water. I can't imagine how tough it would have been.
I can't imagine what the what it smelt like at bedtime.
Yeah, it would have been rather colorful that way. And they actually would take an ice pick and poke holes in the soles of their leather boots, being that they were always stepping into the water. That way the water could drain out. And then at night they would actually just hang their pants up on a cedar branch beside the tent and crawl in and sleep in their wet, long underwear. So I can't imagine the endurance they had.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us about Whitewater Slim.
Yeah, Whitewater Slim is actually modeled after a character named Dixie Guiner, who grew up in just north of Orr. And I actually had a chance to interview Vic toward the end of his life at a rest home in near Little Fork, Minnesota. Really a colorful character.
We're talking about Dead Man's Rapids. You know, the main characters, Ben and his friend Nevers, are about 13. Were kids that age working like this?
Yeah, especially as an assistant cook, a cookie. It wasn't uncommon for a kid to only be, 12 to 14 years old to work as an assistant, either in a cook shack in the winter or in a log drive in this case. I think it's easy for us to forget how hard kids had to work at a young age, especially if your family didn't have a lot of money. You had to be a productive member from the time you were really young.
Barbara, you talked about teaching for years. When a book like this would come across, do kids like reading historical novels and reading about how different it is to be 13?
I think so, and especially when the novel is funny and you can relate to it in modern times. It's really fun for kids to see how other people live, and I think it helps them appreciate their lives.
I just like to get back to the research thing again and the whole collaborating and working together. Can you just tell us how that really works? I mean, Bill, you go out and you do a lot of research, like you just said. You just met an individual, you interviewed him and stuff, and then you sit down with Barbara, and maybe you tell Barbara some of the stories about these people, and then Barbara kind of weaves it in, or you both weave it in.
When he comes, when he comes home from the interview, he shares everything right away. He's just bursting with knowledge and enthusiasm. And then we usually sit down and write an outline of, you know, what's going to happen and how the book is going to progress. And then we talk about the characters.
And Bill, how about you? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and basically, you know, I try to find as many different sources as I can. In the case of logging history, obviously the Forest City History Center in Grand Rapids is a perfect source of information. And Jeff Johns, Becky Jennings, Ed Nelson, even Skip Drake were really helpful in providing me with background information in the history of logging and river drives. And I tend to get really excited when I talk to people who are experts in the field, or especially people who have lived this story in the case of Vic. So they kind of inspire me to try to tell the story as accurately as I possibly can. And John Latimer at KAXE was really generous in sharing his phenology calendars from the spring and in several past years, so we could make sure that the progression of nature as the ice melted and the birds arrived would have been accurate, you know, to the time.
You know, there's such colorful names within this book of all the different players that are there. Is that something you find historically, or do you guys come up with them?
Yeah, just about every single character in the book is actually taken from real life, and that's true of all my novels. I found that the nicknames for people years ago tended to be super colorful, and they're all taken right from history.
Tell us a few of the names.
Yeah, people like we already mentioned, Whitewater Slim, you know, Hungry Mike. And in my original book, Blackwater Ben, I had characters like Needle Nose and Two-Bit Shorty. These were characters, in a lot of cases, that were modeled after people that my father-in-law, Lynn Burgess from Tower, Minnesota, actually knew some of the guys who actually participated in the early logging days.
It's too bad people don't have nicknames like that anymore.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Yeah.
It's William and Barbara Durbin. Their book, Dead Man Rapids, A Blackwater Ben Adventure. They're going to be at the Village Bookstore this Saturday, April 29th, to celebrate the Village Bookstore and independent bookstores. William, Barbara, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.